I'm Vic Cohen, and it's a fair question. It's a fair question. It's a fair question. I'm Vic Cohen, and it's a fair question. It's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair question. I'm Vic Cohen, and it's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair question. Hello, and welcome to Vic Cohen's It's a Fair Question. You're listening to us live from the world-famous downtown Los Angeles' Skid Row Studios, corner of 7th and Olive, if you'd like, on the 8th floor. You want to pop in and shock us. Don't do that. That would be scary. Now, the reason I call the show It's a Fair Question is because on this show, there is no question that is ever off limits or too personal. That's right. And our guests, they know coming in here that any question may be asked to them. So be warned, guests sitting across from me, anything could happen. Now, before I introduce you all to my guest, who you're going to love, I just have to share some very exciting news to you. I was going to say for you, but it's to you. I usually don't talk too much about my own projects, but I just had an amazing weekend in New York City where a film that Howie Mandel created, it's a documentary about my life. He started shooting it 16 years ago, and the film premiered at the Friars Club Film Festival, the Friars Club Comedy Film Festival. And it did amazingly well, and it was very exciting. And I hope you all have a chance to look for it because it will be at other premieres coming out. And you never know where else it may show up. But it was extremely thrilling, and it's the first time I had seen the film. And I got to say, I really like this guy, Vic Cohen. Boy, that sounds really sad. Now, I actually love the film. You never know. It's scary, kind of. Like, what could someone do if they're going to do a film about your life and you've never seen it? It could be anything. But I want to thank you, Howie Mandel, Steve Sunshine, Reed Grinzel, and also Rich Thurber. You guys did an amazing job. And seriously, it was a weekend of a lifetime for me. Second only to right now. Because I'm telling you, we have a guest. This guy has a last name that is perhaps one of the most famous last names in the entire restaurant world, at least in Los Angeles, at least on Fairfax Avenue, at least on Fairfax Avenue between Melrose and Beverly. Now, if you live in Los Angeles, you've been to this guy's restaurant. You've at least driven by it. And if you've just, you know, if you live here, you know about it. And so many people come here to visit. It is called Cantor's. And with me is Gary Cantor. Hello, sir.
Thank you for having me on, Vic. You're very kind.
No, well, you know what? Everything I said is true, at least the stuff about my premiere.
Thank you.
No, about you. I'm kidding. About you, too. I mean, seriously, I have had the pleasure. You know, it's really cool. One of the fun things about having a show is I get to bring in people who I find interesting. And they're people that pop into my life, and I want to share them with all of you listening. And this is one of those guys. I love deli.
Listen, deli's delicious. Food is love. And got great corned beef and pastrami. And it's always a pleasure to serve everybody great food.
Well, you do it well.
Thank you.
Now, we were shooting a show that's out right now on TBS called Deal With It, where I'm a writer and an actor. And we shot both our first and second seasons, and hopefully we'll shoot many more. And Gary was the guy at the restaurant that was like our point guy.
We got the good hand-cut pastrami and everything and make everyone happy.
Oh, my God, that pastrami.
Best in America.
You know, here's my one comment, and I'm going to be on this show, everything's honest. That pastrami, you need to serve the way you served it to us.
Well, it's for VIPs only. It's a special way that my grandfather taught me how to prepare.
Now, when you say your grandfather, he's the guy who kind of kicked this thing off. He and his brother, correct?
Ben Cantor started this in Los Angeles in 1931 with my grandmother, Jenny, and they were on Brooklyn Avenue for many years. And then we moved to the Fairfax location.
And now, currently, you and your brother and your sister.
And a lot of cousins. Everybody. There's like 7 family members. Everybody does a great job.
You run the joint.
Everybody runs it and just goes, and it's just an honor to be there.
Well, I would say that my experience with you is your role must be Mr. Hospitality.
You know, it's do the PR well, make friends with everybody, make everyone feel special, and give them delicious food, and you feed the world.
I would tell you, well, you guys have been doing it a long time, and I'm going to tell you, we're going to exchange. I'm going to play a little game with you.
Okay.
Now, I want to be very clear. This isn't some commercial for Cantor's.
Okay.
The only reason you're here, by the way, is because Because I was hoping there'd be more arugula than you brought.
Okay.
No, the reason you're here is because you guys are an institution. I mean, to me, having you here would be like bringing someone in who runs the art, you know, like the opera downtown.
We started at
the Philharmonic.
It's 10 cents a sandwich in 1931, so there's not many places that have been in L.A. 83 years.
No, you're correct.
Yeah.
That is true. Or anywhere,
yeah,
for that matter. Now, my favorite three foods at your deli. Now, you don't know this, but I did a Yelp review on you. I did.
Okay, thank you.
And yeah, I'm going to tell you, my Yelp reviews create business.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, I'm telling you. And you know, I'll tell you what I went crazy about. And it takes a lot for me to get crazy. But I am a matzo ball aficionado. Tell me, Gary, what did you guys do to your matzo ball recipe in the last few years? Because something changed.
You know, sometimes they might be in a hurry in the kitchen, but it's the same recipe, and he cranks out 500-600 of them every day.
Who's he? You got a guy named
that
just makes some matzo
balls? We've had a cook in the kitchen for the last 30, 40 years.
So really? You never let him leave?
He doesn't want to leave. He gets to eat as much as he wants.
He sleeps there, too?
He makes the matzo ball soup, the chicken soup, the briskets, roast the turkeys.
What's his name? Give him a shout-out.
We just call him Buddy Buddy.
Okay.
It's actually Arturo.
Arturo.
He's
a very traditional
cook.
Jewish name. He came right from Russia.
He learned from the other cook, and everybody's been there a long time, so...
Well, Arturo, you make some incredible matzo balls.
He's a great man. He really is. He's got a lot of patience.
Yeah. Well, how many matzo balls do you guys sell a week?
Thousands of them.
Yeah. I mean, and they're fantastic. Do you put schmaltz?
No schmaltz, but he makes them every day. That's the first thing that he does. When he gets there, he puts all the matzo meal together makes them and puts them in the pot, and they boil for about 50 minutes, and they double in size.
Yes. Arturo's balls double in size. You can't help but go there, right? I mean, it just kind of writes itself.
Matzo ball soup, it's comforting. A little matzo ball soup, it's good anytime.
Well, they say that it's Jewish penicillin.
Yes.
And for those of you who don't know what a matzo ball is, it's a dumpling, essentially.
Yes.
Main ingredient is matzo meal, and matzo meal is crumbled up pretty much matzah, that flat sheet bread that Jewish people eat at Passover. And so there's no leavening in that. And how else would you describe a matzo ball?
It's like you said, a dumpling. It's delicious, and people eat them in the middle of the night. Sometimes they eat them for lunch, and you can eat them anytime. They're delicious.
Now, tell me, Gary, what exactly is your role within the family business?
You know, I started there when I was about 14, 15 years old, working behind the bakery. So I learned what the babkas are and the different Danishes.
Babka is a dessert.
Like a Jewish coffee cake like your grandmother would make. And apple strudel, all the Danishes and the cheesecakes, and it just started out there as a kid, and then learned the deli as I got older. My grandfather used to teach me how to cut the pastrami and corned beef, and just had a great time growing up there, and it's just the best memory ever. Great family.
So you're 15, is that right?
I'm 14 years old at the time, and Danish was a quarter, and it was a nice way to meet girls, give them a cookie.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Yeah, we always gave out a lot of cookies, and we always had a lot of girlfriends.
Cookie for some.
It's always nice to be nice to everybody and just make friends.
I think we know where we're going. Yes. There's a little subtext
there. The cookies are good.
Yeah, I'm sure. And so were the cookies.
It was probably the best time ever.
Well, you were the most popular kid in high school?
I went to several schools, 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade. I was moving around quite a lot because I had too many girlfriends to really study.
Are you serious?
I swear
to
God.
Were you like dropping out of school?
No, it was just John Burroughs. No, not throwing just two. I didn't really want to do homework. And my grandfather told me, look, all you have to do is add and subtract. So I knew I always had a great business waiting for me. So why not have some fun?
Did you have a learning disability?
No, are you kidding me? I got a photographic memory.
You had a girl disability.
Just,
you couldn't stay away from
having fun. You got to have a good time.
So were you asked to leave these schools because your grades weren't good?
No, I just sometimes didn't go to class because I had too many girlfriends. We were having fun.
Elementary school?
No, it started at 14 and a half. So,
junior high.
John Burroughs, Bancroft. I went to Buckley. I played 8
Where are
football.
These schools? Not everyone's going to know where they are. This is like by like Melrose.
Hollywood. Hollywood was like Bancroft, which was a great school.
Okay.
I mean, I had the best time ever. And then Buckley was one of the best schools in the Valley. I think Troy Aikman went there years ago.
A lot of people don't know that pastrami is actually an aphrodisiac.
Well, the pastrami, when it's cooked right, fork tender, is delicious.
Well, you know, you do have, there is something just incredible about your pastrami. Now, I was thinking, I'm going to have Gary Cantor in here. So I've got to do something special for Gary Cantor, the guy who grew up in the business. I figured, what would be the ultimate test for Gary canter. And this is what I came up with. Are you ready for a little game?
Sure.
Okay. I have brought three little pieces of a corned beef sandwich.
Okay.
I have three different plates. I want you to taste them right now.
Okay.
We don't want to take too long with this.
Okay.
But I want you to tell me which is the corned beef section from Cantor's.
Okay.
And I'm going to hand them to you right now.
Yes.
I snuck them in here when you weren't looking. Okay. I don't think you saw them coming.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
Here is number one.
Okay.
You don't have to use the fork.
No. Okay.
Just put it flat down.
I like it.
Okay. And I want you to taste that. And I've got some water to cleanse your palate. I notice you're going right for the meat. No bread.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay.
We have a little. Deli music. Tasting music.
Pretty good.
Okay, very aggressive deli eating music. You know what? That's giving me indigestion, and I'm not even eating. Let's kill the deli eating music.
I'm a good eater, buddy.
Let's kill it.
Very good, by the way.
That was a good idea.
That's a good sandwich.
Okay, so you liked that one.
Very good.
And what did you like about that?
It tasted good. It's good corned beef. The bread was good. It's definitely an A sandwich.
So you think it could be Cantor's?
It's not Cantor's, but it's very good.
It's not Cantor's.
No.
But it's excellent. Okay,
it's
here's another one. Try this one. We got three here.
Okay.
All on the same plate, all presented the same way. Again, you're going right for the beef. Not using the fork. Is that just old school? You just get right in there.
Get right in there. Very good.
Yeah?
Excellent.
How are you judging it? By the richness of the meat, the way it's cured?
This tastes like exactly it's Cantor's.
So you say the second one is Cantor's.
Yeah.
First one, not Cantor's.
Is Cantor's.
Do you want to at least try the third one?
Uh-huh.
I mean, just so we can get through this? And
absolutely.
Maybe this will change your mind. And here it goes. Number three of the taste test. Again, Gary Cantor, it's in his blood.
Buddy.
Cantor's deli is in his blood. Never get a bigger expert. Okay, there's number three, sample number three. The question is, which of those came from Cantor's?
I'll tell you right now.
Wow, you're really into that one.
These two came from Cantor's. This one here, I think, came from Langer's.
Really?
First one was Langer's, the other two here are Cantor's.
So you think that perhaps I'm pulling a fast one on you, maybe, and that two of them.
I know my rye bread, so this is my rye bread. I know my corned beef, so these two are Cantor's. This came from Langer's.
Okay, I want you to look at the bottom, lift up that bottom of that one. And what does it say?
Cantor's.
It says Cantor's.
All right, buddy.
Ding,
buddy.
Ding, ding, ding.
Okay,
Cantor's. Wait, now hold on.
Okay, buddy.
You were correct.
Okay, buddy.
Now, what about that first one?
It was very good. It's very similar to ours.
Cantor's.
Well, they were all
Cantor's.
You got me shocked because Langer's does a good job, but these two, I know my rye bread. This was a little bit different of a rye bread, so.
So the rye bread threw you.
Well, this is a little bit different crust on number one, and I know our crust is more solid. So this is a little bit of a lighter crust.
You are actually a rye bread geek.
Well, I grew up, I've been doing this for 40 years, so I got to know rye bread.
Hold that up to the camera and show them, because he's actually correct.
Okay.
No, the bread, what the bread part.
Well,
is that some meal?
This is our bread, so I know what our bread tastes like.
Wait. But point out there was some what is that? Is that cornmeal?
This is corn rye. This is our famous corn rye.
Okay, so you saw it was on the side there.
Yeah.
Hold that up right to the camera. Show it. Hold it there.
There's the corn rye
right there.
Delicious bite.
Okay. And then show us the corn rye in the other one. That's what made you.
This is corn rye. Cantor's corn rye.
Hold it straight up. Let them really see that corn rye. This is a big moment. You know, in deli history, we need to learn.
Okay. The first one, I know it says Cantor's, but the bread. It's a little
hold it
lighter.
Up, really.
It's
hold it for 5 seconds. I want them to push it all the way
it's
in.
It's a little softer.
Yeah, right up to the lens. Really let them see
it's a,
that.
It's a little bit softer on the rye bread. So I know it says Cantor's, but I just don't know if we have that light of a flower. But it's very good. Very good.
So, I did try and pull a fast one on you. And you kind of almost outsmarted me by saying two of the three from Cantor's.
I could taste it. But they're all very good.
What's your cholesterol?
Cholesterol is probably about 200.
Right. Okay. Is that good or bad? That's kind of high.
I'm just feeling good, so I feel good.
Well, you might want to get tested at a doctor.
Okay. I'll definitely check.
I mean, you're a good guy. I hate to see you drop dead.
I'll get checked out as soon as every 6 months we get a checkup.
I don't know if you got the memo, but, you know, the corned beef and all that, that's not like health food.
Well, honestly, when it's lean like this, it's delicious. I'm going to try another bite.
The man loves his meat. Hey, you cannot stop.
It's been delicious. Thank you for bringing this in.
You're welcome.
Buddy, boy.
I've never seen anyone go crazy about over corned beef.
I'm a professional eater.
And you've been eating corned beef for forever.
Since I was a kid.
You're probably 50% DNA is corned beef.
This is absolutely delicious. Thank you for a nice snack.
No, thank you.
Because you guys are amazing.
I'm thrilled to have you here, and I wanted to see what...
I brought an old Tanner's menu from 53, so this is our 53 menu. You could get corned beef sandwich for 50 cents in the good old days.
Yeah, that was probably then even expensive, right?
But it was always, a little bit more because we made everything there, so all our salad dressings and the bakery's there, and we bake everything ourselves.
Now, Gary, this is called It's a Fair Question.
Yes.
Do you guys own that building?
Yeah, my mother and father own the property.
Your mother and father?
Yes.
Okay. Do you stand to inherit that multi-zillion dollar piece of property? It's a fair question.
It's a family business, so everybody's under the family umbrella. So there's brothers, a sister, everybody's under that same umbrella.
Okay. Now, Gary, I'm going to share some information with you. You probably know, but I want to remind you as I set up this question.
Yes.
Okay. You're part of a family empire.
Yes.
Your father, grandfather started this way back when? 30s came
1931. It actually started in Jersey City in 24.
Right. Long time.
Yeah.
Now your family owns the parking lot, you told me earlier.
Yes. Bought the property years ago.
Yes. Owns the building. Prime real estate.
It's 32,000 square feet.
Right. Owned.
Yeah.
You guys. That's it.
We're very fortunate that everybody knew what they were doing, and it's just an easy blueprint to follow.
Have you ever heard of the saying, sitting on a gold mine?
You know what? We love the business, and we just love interacting with the public and the customers, and it's just always a good day to be at the deli.
Okay, not my question, but a good answer to another question, because here's my question to you. Why do you work? Need to work?
No, I do love working.
I mean, aren't you a multi-zillionaire?
I don't even really look at the money. Everybody eats well, and so long we're all tucked in at night, everybody's happy.
It's a fair question.
It is a fair question. Everybody's very comfortable.
I mean, the sandwiches are fairly priced, but, there's got to be... That, to me, is a gold mine, a factory over there.
You know
what?
It's a great family. I love my
mother. And it's a great thing.
My grandparents were amazing. My mother and father were amazing.
And they're still alive, right?
They're alive.
Your parents.
They'll be around for a long time. And
God willing.
Great parents. And just very lucky to come from such a nice family.
Right. So you don't, the money part of it, is it something you know is there, but you don't really make that the focus?
I don't even look at it as money. It just, when you see all the baked goods and the sandwiches coming out and people enjoying themselves, it just makes you feel proud of who you are. And I'm very proud to be a Cantor.
Right. Well.
So that's what does it for
me. That's great. I like that. Now, how old is the oldest employee? I mean, some of these waitresses look like they might have served Christopher Columbus.
You know what? One waitress just passed away a couple of years ago. Her name was Jeannie, and she was there from 1956. To give you an idea,
1856?
1956, and one of the deli men there, George, one of the top deli men, he's from Greece, has been there since 1965.
So you got a guy from 65.
Yeah, that's still there.
So what is that, 49 years?
Yeah, and our head baker was there in the early 60s, so he'll be retiring very, very soon.
So this is family.
Oh, yeah, everybody's... When they've been with you over 30 years, they're like family. You take care of them, and you treat everybody special.
Well, I think that part of the experience of eating at Cantor's is the wait staff, and it's the people who see you.
Oh.
It's the whole works.
They're classics. You can't even find these people at Central Casting. They just show up. You hire them. Once they're there forever.
And they're loyal. They're loyal, huh?
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, they're loyal. They're great people. They're an extension of who you are, so... It makes a difference.
Do you guys have deli seminars where you sit everyone down and talk about this is the Cantor way? Is there a motto?
I'm just PR. I try to make everyone happy and take care of the Dodgers and a lot of the VIPs that eat there. My sister actually handles the department of hiring and firing, so that's her area, and she does a great job. Her name's Jacqueline.
Okay, so if you're looking for a waiting job.
Yes.
Call Jacqueline.
Jacqueline's the best. She'll sit you down, you fill out an application, and you're ready to rock and roll.
Now, I understand. I would imagine you must go through a lot of people because it's not an easy job.
Listen, running to the kitchen, running to the bakery, running to the deli to pick up your orders, it's a lot of walking. So you could walk 3-4 miles a day easily.
Now, you guys have been around so long, I'm sure some crazy stuff has happened in that restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm going to go through a little bit of a minor laundry list.
Yes.
And I'm curious.
Okay.
Okay? I hate to start with this one,
okay,
but, you know, robberies?
Sure. No, we've always been good. No problem.
Open 24 hours.
We've been open 24 hours since 1953, and it's always run smoothly.
Deaths. Has anyone ever died in your dining room?
No, but a couple people have requested to be buried in a Canner's t-shirt.
And really?
We gave them the t-shirt. Yeah, a lot of longtime
just
cousins.
That? No pants or underpants?
I'm not sure about that, but they
I hope that was a closed casket.
They requested the Canner's t-shirt, and you know, when customers have been eating there 30, 40 years, you have to
right
make the request.
They're
happen.
Basically pickled. If they've been eating there that long.
We joke around, but a lot of customers become family almost, and you just have to treat them as family. And once in a while, you just make them happy and give them special food, and that's part of their...
They've been there so long.
Yeah, I mean, they've been there thousands of times, and you got to give them a Danish once in a while. Give them some Ruggle and make them happy.
Or a t-shirt if they can.
I swear to you, one gentleman wanted to be buried in a Canner's t-shirt, and we got him an extra large.
He's a big guy.
Well, we want him to rest in peace.
You don't want it to be snug.
You know what?
for the rest of your life.
You got to keep him happy.
Afterlife.
If not, they'll nag you to death. So we just got to keep you happy the first time.
What about mobsters? I could see, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
I could just see a lot of bad guys.
You
like,
know what?
There's
definitely been some characters. The location that we have now, not so many, but the other location on Brooklyn Avenue, all the guys from back east, they'd come out here, hang out on the corner. You know, they tell you which horse was going to win, and...
You're talking about when you were in a different part of L.A.
Yeah, it was East L.A., it was Brooklyn and Soto, and those were really the heydays when California was being built, and everything really originated on Brooklyn Avenue.
Brooklyn Avenue...
Brooklyn and Soto in Los Angeles, in, East L.A.
Okay, just to be clear.
Yeah.
Now, you have a very big Hollywood connection with this restaurant,
yes,
correct?
All the stars... The Warner Brothers people, we always catered all the movies. And some people, I met a lady and a man, they were actually married in 1931. We catered their wedding.
And then when he died, you gave him a t-shirt.
We gave him a t-shirt. And,
it's a beautiful story.
You know what? Just there, you got to make the customers happy. But the good old days when those guys came in town, they knew which horses were going to win. And they, hey, give me a good corned beef sandwich and, you know, number 5 in the 5th race.
What's the craziest thing you've ever seen over the years just being in that restaurant?
You know, it's, you know, you could definitely, a lot of memories, a lot of stories, but what I've learned is just keep everyone happy and just treat everybody special and everything will go smooth.
So I understand that there's a secret elevator.
You know, we do have,
restaurant.
There's a basement there. So in the basement, we pickle the pickles and the corned beef's down there, but in the other room, we have a special elevator, and it's for loading supplies up and down.
Now, the reason that's kind of unusual, for those of you who are not familiar with Los Angeles, places don't have basements, generally. It's not like the Midwest or the East.
Well, it just came with the building. When we bought the building, it came with a basement, so it's there, and we, you know, keep all our store some goods downstairs.
Now, I hear some rumors about JFK or one of the Kennedys and Marilyn Monroe. Please tell me.
You know, a lot of times when JFK was in town, his press secretary, Pierre Salinger, used to come to Canner's and pick up platters of meat, corned beef, pastrami, turkey. And we had a banquet room upstairs, and a couple parties took place in the 60s that were some pretty good parties to be at.
Were you there?
I was just a little kid at the time, but I've heard some nice stories. And you know,
Gary, hold on a second. Okay. I fed you some of your own corned beef,
okay,
right?
Yes.
We've had a nice little conversation.
Yes.
Let's hear some of those stories. I know all of you listening want to know. Come on.
Well,
a little bit.
Rumor has it that JFK used to take the elevator upstairs because he had a bad back. And sometimes while they were dining upstairs with 30, 40 people, I think Marilyn Monroe used to eat there all the time with Arthur Miller. And without Arthur Miller, she used to come up to the banquet room and say hello. She attended a couple parties.
What does that mean, say hello?
I wasn't there, so I didn't see it myself. But they had some great parties in the banquet room. And CBS is right up the street, right down the street. So when,
you're making this so hard for me, Gary.
No, but they used
to
have all kinds of parties up there. They had the best parties in town at
Canner's
in the
banquet
room.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Okay. I've heard rumors, and I don't know,
yeah,
but you would know more than me, that Marilyn Monroe and JFK perhaps had sexual relations in that elevator.
It's a possibility that they had a rendezvous.
Just one?
A couple.
Was this while Arthur Miller was in the building?
You know, Arthur Miller was there like in 59. So this is like 60, 61. So you know, maybe when he was on a movie shoot, she said, came over for a little corned beef on rye.
So to speak. But why was this happening in your restaurant?
Well, when we first opened in 53, we were like the first 24-hour restaurant, deli, and bakery in the city. So, you know, this town, nothing was open at 2, 3 o'clock.
What about going in a hotel or parking in a parking lot?
Well, you could get hotel food. I mean, room service is great.
No, I'm saying if they want to be alone, why are they going in your elevator?
Well, we had above the kibitz room is our banquet room.
And now, just so you all know, the kibitz room is another section of the restaurant. It's kind of sectioned off with a bar and bands play and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so the banquet room always would hold like 100 people in there. So they had weddings up there, bar mitzvahs, several parties. So it was just going strong, and then in the 70s, we had to shut it down because it was just getting too popular.
Okay. And so this was like the scene.
It was a very cool scene. When CBS was having get-togethers, they'd come to Canner's afterwards and go upstairs, and a lot of the stars would have their rap parties upstairs. And, you know, it was the good old days. Anything went.
Why not open that banquet hall up again?
You know, it's just... Right now, it's our parts department, so we keep a lot of the parts.
Sounds like it was your parts department back then.
We had parts department, but it's we turned it into a storeroom, so now it's got its own aura and no more parties. You have to have the parties downstairs.
Well, I think you guys need to start throwing parties up there.
It's not a bad idea. Who knows? Anything could happen.
I mean, it's
a very cool
there.
Street. It's a very trendy street. I mean, a lot of things have happened in the last couple of years, and there's like 30 new businesses.
You're talking Fairfax.
On Fairfax Avenue. It's totally, totally cool. Super cool.
Okay, you walk in, just for those of you who've never been there, you walk in, and how would you just, to me, it's like you're in a New York deli. There's a smell. It smells like a deli.
You smell the pickles, and the bakery's kind of at an angle, and they got the cheese danishes and cheesecakes, and it hits you all at once between the pickles and the corned beef. You're going to get hungry. And then you wait in line, and then you get seated, and the waitress will serve you.
Tell me, tonight, I was at your restaurant, okay? And it was a natural thing. I was hungry, but secretly I was hoping to bump into you, maybe nudge you for a couple pounds of arugula to bring along. I failed in that department.
I have them in my trunk.
No. But I ended up, and I truly was hungry, and I really wanted to eat there. And it's close to where I live. So I went in. I had the matzo ball soup, and I fell into your little trap that I know you secretly want, because I went to the bakery afterwards and I bought a few things.
Well, it's dangerous. The bakery is dangerous, and I've sampled everything there, and it's delicious.
Yeah,
everything's made on premises.
Now, I'm going to give you some suggestions for the restaurant, okay? Because I'm a customer.
Yes.
And these are some things. I don't know if you need to take notes.
Okay.
Do you have a pen?
I can remember things very well.
You have a good memory?
Very good.
Because I think this is important.
Okay.
Number one, remodel the bathrooms.
100%. 100%.
Okay.
I totally agree.
Now, I'm a customer.
Yeah.
So I'm actually part of the family.
Yes, you
are. Okay?
Yes.
It's like I'm talking to dad or my brother.
Yes.
I'd say it's time for the bathrooms to be there. I'm telling you.
I totally agree with you.
I mean, because it takes me out of the meal.
I 100% agree
with
you.
I order, I'm excited, I go to the bathroom, it pulls me out.
You know what? I'd love to see like new tiles and just...
What's going on? Why is that such a struggle?
I don't think they understand that the bathrooms are very important.
My scalp is tingling, and when it does that, I feel like I'm being confrontational. I'm not trying to be.
I want, when you go into the bathroom, I want you to think like Elvis just walked in here, and it's just comfortable, and it's just cool. So
what smells like Elvis died in there?
Well, it's a possibility.
And he...
It's a possibility.
But here's the thing. The food is so good.
I know.
And I want you guys from A to Z.
Yeah.
It diminishes all that.
You definitely need... They have to work on that. I'm going to definitely tell them. I've been telling them that for years.
It's
but
a true thing.
Somehow they just don't see it, but I'm going to have to talk to them.
I'm telling you. I mean, you can be retro and still...
I'm going to have to talk to them a little bit about that. We definitely have to update.
If you want, I will meet with them.
Thank you.
As family. We're all family.
It needs to be done.
We can have a family meeting.
I'm 100% with you.
And I'm a fan.
Yes.
Don't take that the
wrong way. No. It's absolutely. I totally agree.
Here's one thing I love. I'd love to see more of. I hope this isn't being obnoxious.
No.
But I really actually feel I have an investment in your restaurant.
You do.
You know what? There aren't a lot of great delis. I only want you guys to... Not that you need my help. You've done pretty well without me.
We love everybody, and we're happy to have great people.
You don't love everybody.
Well, we do.
What if a guy in the KKK walked in?
Well, sometimes the customers could be a little bit rough when they come in, but when they leave, they're happy. So once you eat the food, keep them happy.
Okay. You got a good attitude.
And you could send in the roughest guy in the world in there, we'll still make them happy.
You're right.
I've been attacked by the best, so I know.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Who's attacked you?
Oh, just, you know, and they're done, they're happy, they leave, and then they're saying thank you.
Right, because so, you know how to handle people.
That's it. Keep them.
You do.
That's it, buddy, buddy.
More free samples.
You have to.
At the bakery.
Thank God for Regula.
I want to tell you something. Everyone loves a free sample.
You got to. It's part of the business.
And you'll get those people who, and you're about, I when it's there, I light up. Yeah. Actually, I think you're doing it right, because sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not, and you never know.
Well, that's why we keep the black and white cookies coming down fresh all the time.
Smart. I'm almost done. Sell the end crust. Okay. End crusts of the rye.
Yes.
Why not just give those free? You throw them away.
You know what? We really should give them out free, but a lot of the customers like want them. So if you can't give everybody free bread, because everybody will take them.
Okay. And that's pretty much it. That's my all.
We have donations. There's guys that come every day and pick up stuff from the bakery, like 5-6 bags every day of day-old stuff. Whatever's left, we give it to charity.
Now, what would you be... Thanks for listening. I appreciate that. And we'll follow up later about the bathroom. I got some specific plans, ideas about appliances.
I like it.
But, that's the only thing I really, really, really wish you guys...
I'm totally with you on that. Totally.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need a new mirror, too. Those mirrors get scratched up. They got to change the mirrors every now and then.
Right, but the appliances have just been there too long.
I totally agree.
All right. See, this is why you're so good. Is this the customer's always right? Are you just...
No, but I 100% have said this.
I'm preaching to the choir.
99 times I've brought this up, and 99 times I say, okay. And
you're right.
We got to get it done.
We are right.
We're going to get it done.
Now, if you didn't go into the restaurant business, because I know you were born into it, and you naturally have an interest in it. It's like in your DNA.
Yeah.
Let's say that didn't happen.
I would have played baseball. I'm left-handed. I could throw the ball pretty good.
You think you'd be a pro baseball player?
I think I would have tried. I'm pretty good with baseball.
And even if that didn't work out, you'd play for the NBA?
Even now, I've got a couple mitts in my trunk, a couple bats. We're ready to play ball at any time.
Gary.
Yeah.
Show is a fair question. Yeah. We keep everything honest. Yeah. But that sounds almost delusional.
No, I'm telling you, I'm a pretty good baseball player.
You think why didn't you do both?
Because I was in the deli business, but I've always loved baseball.
So the Cantors is the only thing that's kept you back from being a starting Dodger.
You know what? I swear to God, I think I could have been a pretty good baseball player.
It's not too late.
I could have knocked out at least 30 home runs a year easy.
You really think
so? Easy.
Did you play Little League?
You know, I always played... You know, Clearview, we played softball, so I used to hit the ball over the
fence
all the time.
What's Clearview? I don't know.
Clearview was a private school in Beverly Hills, right across from the Beverly Hills YMCA.
That's because rich kids their parents would pay them to throw the ball real slow, so the kids would think that they could play in the big leagues.
We had a really good time at that school, and it was close to Beverly High, and of course, you met some nice girls, so it worked. And
I'll tell you this, you do have a love for baseball.
I love baseball, and as a kid, I used to bring Hank Aaron corned beef sandwiches.
Right.
He used to stay at the Sheraton West Hotel
Not
downtown.
Not that Hank Aaron, another guy who lived in
Hank Aaron with 755 home runs. Hank Aaron, we used to bring him corned beef sandwiches in 67, 68. I was a little kid.
Yeah, that must have been a thrill.
Oh, him, Willie Mays. I got Clemente's autograph at home. We had a blast with all the baseballs.
Okay, well, let's just say, and I'm kidding around with you, and I do love your passion for baseball. Yeah. I mean, your collection is crazy.
I promise you, I would have been a player. I love it that much. I'm in my trunk right now.
You can't be playing Little League in your 50s.
I know. Well, now I can't, but I'm just telling you.
You're talking pro baseball.
I would have played baseball, for sure.
Pro baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never really played other than the elementary school.
Well, we played. I threw the ball around with Eric Karros and some of the Dodgers. Actually, Eric Karros actually gave me his first baseman's mitt. So it says, Gary, thanks for feeding
me. One day, I'm going to, not to be rude or anything, but I want to go to a batting cage.
I got Sean Green's bat in my trunk in case I got to hit a home run. He had 49 home runs with the Dodgers in 2001.
I need a little help.
We could hit the ball pretty good. I'm telling you, I could hit the ball. And I could play football pretty good, too. At Buckley, I was the fullback and weak side defensive end. Buckley was in the Valley. It was a private school. And, well, like the JV. And I used to knock him down pretty good.
Okay.
It's the best time I ever had was playing football.
So you consider yourself an athlete somewhere in the world of athletics.
I would knock the people down pretty good. I still got the good elbow here, and I can knock them down pretty good. I swear, best time ever.
Listen, that was not an answer I was expecting either.
No, but offense and defense, it was the best time I ever had growing up.
Right.
Besides all the girls.
And the cookies.
And the cookies, of course, and the corned beef.
Yeah.
And, you know, good pastrami helps too.
Okay, just for the record, though, if you weren't in the restaurant business, you'd be a star?
I would have played baseball. I would have 30 home runs a year.
What would your average have been, batting average?
Probably 285.
Okay, so at least you're not, you wouldn't be a 300.
No, runner. 285.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what if that didn't work out?
I never thought of it, but I always love sports.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. A lot of people go into a family business, and it's a double-edged sword. Because some will say, you just got it easy.
Yeah.
Right? It's like you can't win. Yet you clearly have a gift.
Yeah.
You've made yourself an expert in this.
Yeah.
You grew up in it. You can never have had better training.
No.
Right?
Oh, once you work at the deli and you're there, you can run anything in the world.
I mean, there's no one who knows a business who hasn't grown up in it.
You know what it is? It's psychology and it's understanding people. And you just one look, you can see if they're enjoying the food or not. And you got that jump on them to find out if they're having a good meal or not.
But do you ever feel like someone could say, oh, it was the easier way? Or do you not care what people think?
You know what? I can't really say. I just always want to be my grandparents and my mother and father to be proud of what I do. So I always try to do the best I can when I'm at the deli.
Well, that's a great answer. I mean, and I can see you're being sincere.
And I'm representing my grandparents, Ben and Jenny Cantor. So I think what would they say and what would they do? And that's usually what I do, whatever they would do.
Right. Now, are you getting emotional? Because you look like you're getting emotional.
You know,
that's okay.
They were great people. And when I think about them, I loved them very much. And it was I'm just very lucky to be in this family.
What's the emotion about?
Just they were very, very special. Great memories going over there as a little kid.
What made them special?
Just who they were, the way they taught me.
What did they teach you?
They just taught me to make every sandwich how you'd want to eat it, make it for the customer. Exactly how you want to make it for yourself, you make that one for the customer. And that's why I get there and make sure the meats are tender, fork tender, they're steamed properly, and everything comes out of the bakery nice. And even the bakers, if you want a little better, just don't start in with them too much. Just say, look, can we make this just a little bit better? And they do.
And you learned that directly from your grandfather.
My grandparents. And just keep everyone happy. And that's it. That's the secret to success. Keep them happy and you'll have, you know, repeat business.
Your grandparents, it sounds to me like when you're at work, your grandparents have passed.
Yeah.
But it sounds like they're still there.
They're in me all the time. I think of them all the time. And they taught me, you know, how to do the pastrami that when you were there with Howie and the whole film crew, that was special pastrami. So they taught me how to do this. And this goes back.
Now I love them.
There you go. But this comes back to like 1924 in Jersey City. That's how they started. Everything was hand cut. So they didn't have machines. In the good old days, they used to go through 300 dozen French rolls on a Sunday. So that's like 3,600 sandwiches just on French rolls. It was just insane.
Your grandparents, your dad's parents, were they immigrants?
From Russia. They came from Minsk, Oberia in Russia.
And they were kids when they came over?
They were kids. They came to New York City. My grandfather was born in 1892. My grandmother was born in Brooklyn in 1900. And they met. She was in the garment industry. She was his boss. And they got married in 1918. I think July 18th, 1918. And they celebrated their 50th anniversary at the Friars Club in Beverly Hills in 68.
Wow. And, you know, I noticed from spending time with you on our shoots, you're a bit of a historian.
I love history. I love, you know, Mickey Mantle, Babe Ruth, all the old-time baseball players. And I just love the history of L.A.
Now, you talk a lot about your grandparents, but I don't hear you as much talking about your mom and dad. Not to slight them.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you had an extra special relationship with your grandparents.
I did. My mother and father, first of all, my mother, I owe her everything because raising me wasn't easy. I was just having way too much fun. So just to raise me was like raising five. So I owe her a lot. And my dad was always great. He always taught me, you know, the values and take care of people and do business on a handshake.
Mm-hmm. You still do that?
I do.
It's a little dangerous, isn't it?
It is a little dangerous, but, you know, sometimes you just have to trust people and they'll guide you the right direction.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Are you spiritual?
Absolutely. My great-great-grandfather was a big, big Kabbalic rabbi, and he lived to be 96 years old. He was born in 1831. He died in 1925 in shul after fasting all day on Yom Kippur.
Oy. So they say on Rosh Hashanah is written on Yom Kippur,
but
it is sealed. Who will live and who will die?
In shul after fasting all day. This was a big guy, so I'm named after him. His name was Avram Pinchas Goldberger, the Romanovich Rav. So I'm named after
him.
Wait,
go through that again, because that's...
His name was Avram Pinchas Goldberg, and the region they lived in was Romanowa. So the Romanovich Rav was his second name, and he was my grandfather's mother's father.
Okay.
So I have pictures of him at home.
Yeah.
So anytime I need a little blessing, I go, hey, how you doing? Good Shabbos, and Let's do this.
Do you consider yourself religious?
I'm not religious, but I definitely believe in just treating everybody like you would treat, feed the birds, feed the, you know, just make everybody happy. And we're all from nature, so.
Do you pray?
I do pray.
What does that look like?
Just, you know, just say things and just little talk to my grandfather and just say hi.
Where I'm not.
I just ask him to let me follow in your footsteps. Show me where to go, and I'll follow in your footsteps.
So he's about a kind of a hero of yours.
Absolutely, you and I look at him every day before I leave in the morning. I always talk to him. I brought him a little shmear matzah for Passover, just in case. There you go.
Shmear is what?
The shmear matzah, that's like the extra Orthodox matzah that comes from Israel.
Okay, it's round.
It's the big round one that's baked really nice, and oh yeah, good
that's
stuff.
Great. Were you bar mitzvahed?
Absolutely, Shar Tevilah.
What's Shar Tevilah?
It was like an Orthodox temple on Beverly and Poinsettia. Mm-hmm. So I had a nice bar mitzvah there Saturday, and then had a nice little get together at the Beverly Hills Hotel at 13 with all my girlfriends.
Now I'm going to ask you something again that I'm curious about.
Yeah.
Since I've met you.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what the answer is going to be.
Yeah.
I'm almost afraid to ask it.
I'm ready.
But in the show,
yeah.
There's no such thing.
No, I'm ready.
Now, you say buddy, buddy.
Yes.
And you say it a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I know a guy who said, called people chicky because he didn't want to remember their names.
Yeah.
It was like a trick so that he could make people, it felt warm, but it was a trick because he just didn't remember names.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's, you do it for that reason or these are your options. It's another game show.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like a Tourette's kind of thing.
Or a
nervous habit?
No, it really happened.
Or a warmth? What is it?
We had a licensing deal. We had a Canner's at TI Treasure Island in Vegas. So when I'd walk into the kitchen, I couldn't remember like 80 chefs' names. So, you know, if you call the guy the wrong name, if it's Nick or not, you're in trouble. So great to see you, Buddy Buddy. And so Buddy Buddy started when we opened up Treasure Island in 2003.
So before 2003, it was schmucko?
Well, we didn't use Buddy Buddy as much, but when you know, see the good people in Vegas, they're Buddy Buddy, how you doing, Buddy? All right, Buddy, done, Buddy Buddy.
Is it an OCD thing, though?
No, it's just how they talk over there.
Okay,
and you're
I'm
in
just
the kitchen.
Curious.
When you're in the kitchen with the chefs and they got knives, you got to, you know, make friends.
So it was out of the thousand, did you say TI, Treasure Island?
Treasure Island, yes.
And then from that, because if you meet Gary... Yeah. If you meet him more than once, he's going to say, buddy, buddy.
Buddy, it's kind of in my blood by now. Buddy, buddy, how you doing, buddy? And
am I the only one who's ever asked?
No, people have asked, and it's just a good way of greeting people.
Well, I mean, it's definitely warm.
Yeah. Trademarked buddy, buddy. I had the Yankees. I trademarked buddy, and I had the Yankees sign my buddy, buddy hats. Derek Jeter and Reggie Jackson and a lot of the players signed my buddy, buddy hats.
Now, you've become... through your work life, have become close with a lot of athletes.
Absolutely. When Sean Green was with the Dodgers, he was really close. I used to bring him corned beef sandwiches.
Only Jewish player on the Dodgers at the time, right?
He was really cool. But now we feed Clayton Kershaw, loves the cheesecake. And Andre Ethier comes in all the thing. We just saw Yasiel Puig at Dodger Stadium for they had a hockey game there about 3 months ago. So he stopped in and had a pastrami sandwich.
I just came up with a great idea.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you.
Yeah.
Now, I know you got a lot of family. Yeah. It takes time for things to, it sounds like, get through the top. Here's what I'm good at these ideas. I'm going to just be real honest, and I might sound like I'm bragging. I'm not trying to. But I would do a thing called the Cantor's Corned Beef Club. And it's not a sandwich.
Yeah.
It's that you get a card. And when you hit your either 100th or you want to go 1,000th.
Okay.
100th sounds maybe 500.
Fine.
You get... 5 free corned beef sandwiches.
I like it.
I mean...
You know, I love marketing. I love running contests. I mean, I think
too.
It's brilliant.
You know, I work in game shows.
But that's what you should do.
In the Cantor's corned beef.
I got to talk to them in the office and let them, hey, this is a good idea. I mean,
it's
even,
like hip. It's like it's rewarding
cool.
people.
It's even if you have a pickle eating contest, just a ruggle eating contest, let's have some fun. You win, you get $500.
I really love that kind of stuff. Because now this is the big question is, I hear all this history in the past.
Yeah. What's the next level?
Thing?
So nostalgia
is great.
No, but you know
what? You got to always look ahead.
The street is so cool right now. And with all these new stores.
Right. When he says they're cool, what he's saying is, Gary, is there used to be, not that it wasn't It was cool if you were an Orthodox Jew.
Yeah.
Because it was all pastry shops and and Judaica stores.
Exactly.
Now it's skateboard shops and
tennis shoes, Nike, and all the cool stuff.
And suddenly it's turning into Melrose.
It's beyond Melrose. It's like the hottest street in the city right now. We're two blocks north of the Grove, and everybody's on Fairfax.
Grove is where there's the famous farmer's market.
Yeah, farmer's market.
But the question is, you know, like I said, nostalgia is one thing. Yeah. But where do you go from here?
You know what? We definitely have to up our game, and to have things like what you mentioned is brilliant. And I just have to run it by our friends in the office and get it done.
Here's something that all of you will notice when you go to Canner's. And I do suggest you pop in there just for the experience, very least. At least grab something from the bakery. Yeah. And ask for Gary.
Yeah.
Now.
Buddy, buddy.
Buddy, buddy.
Buddy, buddy. We're in, buddy.
I don't want to say. You may charge me. You're trying to copyright
that.
No,
we'll take care of him. I'll take care of him.
Here's the deal.
Yeah.
You'll never see anything like this, guys. They don't use computers. Like, they use, you guys have an old school register, pencil to paper.
Yeah, it's
old
school.
What's going on with that?
It's just, you know, it's like old school. I mean, we're lucky we have color TVs there. You're lucky you're not in the bar watching the Zenith black and white TV from 1966. If you jingle your keys, the channel changes.
But you're probably the only restaurant I've seen that hasn't gone computerized.
Eventually they have to. I think it's just old school and they're waiting. One of our cashiers, who just passed away a couple of years ago, we couldn't have credit cards because she wouldn't do the credit cards. She was from Mississippi, and she says, no, no, no. So it took us a long time to get credit cards.
Well, you have two lines. You have credit card and cash.
But we never took credit cards till maybe 10 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So just to get with that was a process.
So some people can't come out here to L.A., and they just are, like, really interested in seeing the place. And what would be some TV shows or films you might...
they just
interiors,
did Mad Men just filmed there. They just... Their first opening episode, they just filmed it Sunday night. So they were there. Enemy of the State was there. They do all kinds of films and shoots all the time.
Deal with It, the show I'm on.
Yeah.
On TBS that Howie Mandel produces and a bunch of other great guys.
Howie's the best. We love you, Howie.
Well, you treat us well.
Yeah.
Mike Harney, Roy Banks, we've got the whole group is over there. I'm feeling, am I forgetting one? But you do a great job taking care of
You have
shoots,
to. We got to it comes out better. When we give you good food, you're going to feel better and your show's going to be better. So you guys are all stars.
Well,
it's an all-star team.
You guys, you like I said, you did a great job taking care of us both those times. Wasn't there a, was there anything else? Any 50s films, 60s films?
You know, there's some, I Ought to Be in Pictures, I think in 81 with Walter Matthau was filmed there. And there's so many things in the 60s that were done and everybody would hang out there. I mean, the Rock and Rollers, the Who and all the big bands were there all the time in the 60s. Jim Morrison, I mean, Jimi Hendrix, everybody was hanging out there in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. So it was a cool place to go, and everybody hung out there.
Now, you're probably aware of this. About early 90s, there was a deli called Jerry's.
Yes.
They had one in Studio City and maybe another one or two somewhere.
Yeah.
And then they expanded.
Yes.
And they showed up by the Beverly Center.
Yes.
Which I hear that's gone out of business if it hasn't yet.
Well, you know what it was? The rent, they kept raising the rent. So the rent, there's probably $50,000 a month, you know, and gets to a point where you can't afford to stay in business.
So you think that that was what has challenged them?
Absolutely. If you don't own your property, it's not going to be easy to stay in business. And especially, you know, these days, everything's more. Your electric bill, your water bill, everything's higher.
Now, people I've heard say some business owners say that California is anti-business. How do you experience that?
You know what? The mayor, Eric Garcetti, was just at the deli Sunday. So he couldn't be any nicer, and I gave him a honey cake. He actually put the honey cake on his, tweeted out a picture of his honey cake. I put happy Passover, and he showed it out. So he couldn't be any nicer, and I think we're in good hands with him.
Yeah, so you feel that the city has been
He's a great mayor. He's open-minded. I mean, he's definitely on the all-star team.
You mentioned there are a lot of rockers that hang out there or have hang out there. Tell me about
that. In the 60s, everybody was like toasted out of their mind. Neil Young used to be a taxi cab driver on Sunset, and after the clubs let out, he would, for a dollar, he would take you to Canner's, and he wrote that in the Rolling Stone magazine. So everybody who's anybody was in Hollywood had to end up at Canner's at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. It was just how it was.
Right.
You played the whiskey, all those rock and roll clubs, whatever was going on. You come to Canner's, and every night of the week, the bakery was empty. There wasn't nothing left. It was
they
that
just
busy.
Cleaned it out.
They cleaned it out. And I mean, there used to be 100 motorcycles parked in front of there sometimes in the 60s.
Do you ever think, like, how do we recapture that? I mean, not that you're suffering.
No, but it was just a special time. It was almost like Woodstock every weekend. It just happened, and you can't recreate it, but we're going to have to do some new things, and hopefully we'll have some contests.
Well, like you said, though, well, I like the corned beef one. I just something about that.
Listen, I love that. Just to have that stuff, watch them go at it.
But it doesn't have to be an eating contest. It's a matter of getting repeat business.
Absolutely.
So when they're in the club. Buzz up.
Yeah.
Or it's like you get 100. Once you've eaten 100, you get 10 bucks off your
whatever
meal.
Whatever it is. Give them a free sandwich. Give them 10 free sandwiches.
Or whatever
it takes. Let's have a winner.
Yeah. I just think that that is different. Like it's like.
What? They're going to get a trophy, Canner's best customer, best hot pastrami, and we'll keep the girls happy and the buddy-buddy special.
Right. I like that. Now, what Neil Young was singing at that time? Or
no, he was just trying to survive. He was just like, it was in the Rolling Stone magazine when they had their 50th anniversary issue that came out 4 or 5 years ago. And in the issue, it's he wrote, I had no idea till I read it.
For you in your life, most of your life, I mean, it's the deli and it's your family. You've got a wife, you've got a beautiful daughter.
Yeah.
I know they're obviously extremely important to you.
Yeah.
What's the future look like for you?
You know what? We're doing a lot of licensing deals, so we're with a good company now, and I think we could be all over the world soon.
What does that mean, licensing deals, for people who don't know?
There could be like a smaller version of Canner's, corned beef pastrami, some babkas, some of our all-star items, like in different countries.
So just like the corned beef sandwich could be
corned beef pastrami, cheese blintzes, potato pancakes, knishes, and just everything's hand-cut and just served right in front of you.
Are you guys, there's only like four, there are four big delis in LA, or five. There's Langer's, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
They're not open for dinner.
No, but they do a good job. They're a good deli.
Right. And they've been around forever.
Yeah.
And then you've got Nate and Allison Beverly Hills.
They do a great job. They're very good.
Were you surprised to see Junior's leave and then get bought by-
They didn't own the property. That's why they're not there. The guy raised the rent, and he just didn't have faith, whatever. And
the new owner, he's a nice guy.
They're in a great location, so you should have, good people eating there.
The west side?
Yeah.
Almost west side?
It's west side. You're by the beach there.
Why?
I mean, right there.
Well, they're on Westwood Boulevard, which is not exactly the beach. Why is the beach? Why is there no deli west of the 405?
There used to be a deli called Zucky's.
Oh, there is.
Yeah, Zucky's, but they went out. But it's very hard to find people to do... this old school stuff, and it was taught to me by my grandparents, and a lot of the bakers now are become doctors and lawyers.
Yeah, and there is one, there is one deli, I think it's on Wilshire.
Down by the beach. They opened up about 15 years ago. They're pretty good. I don't know the name.
No, there's one that's 24/7.
Yeah, I know.
Seinfeld shot there.
Yeah, it's a good place. There's one, that I don't even know where it is, but I know when you walk on the walkway down there on like whatever it is, 3rd or 4th Avenue, there's some deli there.
Yeah, this one's actually a little further east. But do you feel in competition with these guys?
No competition. We love everybody. If you're in the deli business, you're ready on the all-star team.
Because
you got to be ready to get hammered, and you're going to get hammered. That's why it's got to be delicious.
Why do restaurants fail?
Because you got to really care about what you're doing, and you have to have the passion to check on the food and make sure it's delicious. And I sample the food every day.
And how do you not... weigh 300 pounds.
My metabolism, I'm always walking a lot, and I just thank God for good genes. I thank my parents all the time.
Now, your daughter, is she going to be interested in the business?
I think she's in the modeling area, so she's in a good area. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier for her. She won't get messed up.
Why is it when I was in New York, the bagels are so much better than they are out here? And why don't... Hold on a second. I got a second part to this.
Yes.
My understanding of it is, not only is it the New York water, but they boil their bagels before they bake them.
Well, we boil them too, but New York, it's the recipes, it's tradition, how you're taught, and it just comes out better on the bagels in New York. Now, we have good bakery. I mean, our danishes are great. Our coffee cakes are great. But New York is known for their bagels, and they do have a better bagel.
Well, isn't there a way to get around, make that the better bagel?
We boil them. They push them in the oven. But our guys, sometimes they're so much in a hurry getting the danishes out, and then because they got to hurry up because then the bread bakers are coming in to start baking the rye bread, and it's got to proof. Sometimes they're in a hurry, and they rush the bagels a little bit, and it might not just come out as crispy as you want.
Well, your thing is the rye.
Yeah. Rye bread's
there is
great.
No doubt.
This rye bread's from Jersey City, 1924.
That rye bread is unparalleled.
We pickle our own pickles. The pickles are made on the premises. There's not many people that even make their own pickles. I mean, everything's cured. The salad dressings are made from scratch. I mean, anything you need, it's www.cantersdeli.com. You can learn about it on the website.
C-A-N-T-E-R-S.
We never even had a website till 3 years ago. My wife put it together. I'm telling you the truth. We had no website. So www.cantersdeli.com, and you can find out about us.
Well, we're almost out of time. Yeah. It's totally flown by here. Any secrets of you want to share with us?
You know, just always
yet because I feel like we've learned some things.
Got to make everybody feel like family. Make everybody feel special, and just keep them happy. Don't start in with anybody. Just you got to make friends in this business.
Now I know your grandfather. Yeah. What was his name?
Ben Cantor.
Ben Cantor obviously meant a lot to you. We've talked a bit about him. Going beyond. Yeah. You want to make the sandwich like you're making it for family.
Absolutely.
What about any other words of wisdom, gems that maybe you could share to all of us listening?
You know what? Once you're behind the bakery and you have baked goods there and you give somebody a fresh pastry or arugula and they eat it, food is love. So they're going to, oh my God, I love you. And just, it's just simple. Mm-hmm. Once you have that opportunity to meet people, meet them.
And that can be whether you're giving regular or
you know what,
if you're a lawyer, accountant,
you know,
anything.
Starting
you
out young in that business as a kid, you got the feel of it by meeting people. So I had the confidence of meeting people, and it just went through the years of just saying hello, treat people like family, and make friends.
Well, you know, in my family, because I have a very close family, my mom and dad still always pick up the bill.
Of course.
And I consider you like family, and you are older than me. I mean, not crazy, but I expect the next time I come in town.
Yes, we will take care of it. This
one's on
Cantor's.
On my family.
Yes, we'll take care of it.
I'm totally kidding.
Done. It's done.
No,
it's done.
I wouldn't do it because that would be like something of impropriety. It wouldn't look right.
I'm
not looking for anything.
Well,
free.
We'll get you. You guys are great. Thank
I was
you.
Kidding. I was kidding. It's the appearance of impropriety. I don't want that.
No,
I want nothing from you.
I know. We're just joking.
Just keep doing what you're doing, and that's
enough.
We're going to get you the
We're going to get you a great pastrami.
No, you do a great job. And I want to thank all of you also for listening. And when you're in LA, say hi to Gary. He usually is in the morning.
Love you guys. Come on down. I'll make you the best sandwich in the world.
All right. And he will. He'll do it personally. But make sure you wash your hands first.
I always wash my hands every day, about 90 times a day. Buddy, buddy.
Okay.
We love you, buddy, buddy.
All right. Thanks again, everyone. We'll see you soon right here on Vic Cohen's It's a Fair Question. It is. Always.
I'm Vic Cohen, and it's a fair question. It's a fair question. It's a fair question. I'm Vic Cohen, and it's a fair question. It's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair question. I'm Vic Cohen, and it's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair, it's a fair question.